بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطاهرين الطيبين. السلام عليكم dear brothers and sisters. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us all the tawfiq to fast on all of these days up to the eighth day that we're in, and we hope that we're able to make the best of this opportunity that God has provided us with. The dua we have on the eighth day reads as follows.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma arzuqni fihi rahmat al-aytam wa it'am al-ta'am wa ifsha al-salam wa suhbat al-kiram bi tawlika Ya Malja' al-Amilin.
What we find in this dua is, in a sense, very different than what we find in the previous duas of this month. Before I start explaining the dua itself, when we look at the recommendations we have for the month of Ramadan, I feel categorize them at least into two categories. One are the adhkar, the remembrances or the words to remember God, the worships, the du'as, the prayers. That's one group of recommendations. Another category are acts of virtue and righteousness that have to do with the community. They have to do with other individuals, with community members and the society we live in, and the relationship we have with them. There's a lot of emphasis on both categories in this month. It's not only worship. The second category is also something that's very important in this month. This dua is related more so to the second category. It says,
Allahumma arzuqni fih rahmat al-aytam.
O Allah, give me as sustenance an important blessing. What is it?
Rahmat al-aytam.
Having mercy towards aytam, orphans. One of the things that very unfortunately in our communities has developed is that the majority of us are not aware of the orphans that exist in our communities, in other communities throughout the globe. We are unaware of them. Sometimes I feel some non-Muslims are more catering towards orphans than Muslimin are, than Mu'mineen are, believers are. One of the greatest emphasis we have in the Holy Quran, one of the acts, the practices, one of the responsibilities that a Muslim community has, a very serious responsibility, is towards orphans. We have to see, we have to find out, we need to look into the matter of orphans. Do we have any orphans here of the believers? Just because we haven't heard of any doesn't mean they don't exist. There are Muslim orphans in the West, and the information I have is that unfortunately sometimes they end up in non-Muslim orphanages, in non-Muslim facilities that raise these children, in non-Muslim foster homes and families, because Muslims don't go to pick up these orphans. And this is very terribly unfortunate. And whoever knows of this will face the consequences. It is wajib kifa'i, an obligation that is on the shoulders of all members of the community to take care of the orphans. It's not only a responsibility that the other family members of that orphan have. Anyone that knows there is a believer who's passed away and left behind a child or children will be responsible to make sure those children are going to have a place to stay, are going to get Islamic training, Islamic education, a Muslim household. If I can't afford it myself, come together with a few other people, do something about it. Tell at least others that can afford it, we need to do something about this. But what we have here isn't even that, it's beyond that. It says, رَحْمَةَ الْأَيْتَامِ. I'm asking, I'm begging God to give me this, the ability to show mercy. That's not something that everyone would be able to do, or everyone would even think of doing. If they think of it, not everybody is in the end capable or able to do it. The way the Holy Prophet did, the way the Ahlul Bayt did, the way the Imams did, that they would show extra love to children who had lost their father. Amir al-Mu'mineen would walk in the streets of Kufa and find the families that had lost their fathers, play around with those children. Some ahadith say, and accounts in history, he would act like a sheep and have those children ride on his back and even make the sound that a sheep does just to get these children to smile. He would sit them down, the Holy Prophet would sit them down, and they would stroke their hair in a very merciful way, showing that mercy to this child who's an orphan. This is something that we should be truly asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us. Now this has a multitude of effects. It has an effect on us, it has an effect on that child, it has an effect on the Muslim community. It has a series of effects. We need to really get on with this and try to find the orphans, try to show this mercy, try to show this rahmah to these children, inshallah. The other one says, wa it'ama at'am. Give me this sustenance. It's a rizq, it's a sustenance. What is it? It'ama at'am, to give food to others. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be in the month of Ramadan to those who need, but the practice of giving food to others, especially when that means you open up the doors and have everybody come in, whether it's in your house, which would be a great blessing, especially, as I said, if we open the doors, let others come in, especially those who don't have as much. If we're living in huge homes, we shouldn't feel like we need to invite those who come from such economic backgrounds. We should try to find those in the community that don't have all that. They're living in a dinky apartment. If there are, God forbid, any homeless in the community that nobody caters to, they shouldn't be homeless on the streets. But if there are any of the Muslim community in the street and the city that we live, opening the doors to these people, treating them as brothers, treating them as equals. In the dua that we have in Sha'ban, right before the month of Ramadan, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this, that we want to have muwasat. We want to be able to have equality, feel equal, and not better than those who have less income than us. So we want to have it'am at-ta'am. We're asking that giving, brothers and sisters, has the effect of ridding us of the attachment to the dunya. Give, be generous also when you want to have that meal for people. Don't invite 10 people and be generous, cook the food for 200 people for only 10 people. That's not generosity. You invite the rich people in the community, the wealthy, the well-off, and then you cook the food that's good for 200 people and then it gets wasted. That's not generosity. Be generous to the community. When you invite everybody, don't start being stingy. Oh my God, this is going to cost so much. Give, be generous. إِطْعَامَ الطَّعَامِ وَإِفْشَاءَ السَّلَامِ. This is very interesting. إِفْشَاء means to spread. Okay. Spread. Spread what? السلام. What does salam mean? Sometimes salam is translated as peace. All right. And there's a lot of misunderstandings about this concept of peace. Yes, in a sense, salam does mean peace. But what is the meaning of peace? Sometimes people understand the concept of peace being or meaning that everybody, regardless of who they are, what they do, what evils they are involved with, just smile at everybody, get everybody together, feel good, even if there are murderers, even if what they believe in is worse than murder, according to the Holy Quran. Just get everybody, be okay with everybody, peace. That's not the meaning of peace. That's wrong. That will not benefit you, it will not benefit us, it will not benefit humanity. If you say peace between the sheep and the wolf, you can call it peace, but that wolf in its nature is going to be tearing that sheep apart. You can tell the sheep to come out, let's all be peaceful, but the wolf is going to tear the sheep apart. As long as the wolf is a wolf, they're going to tear that sheep apart. Peace means removing from people, from communities, from society at large, what would cause one to have features, characteristics that are wolf-like. If there are people in society that their behavior is like a wolf, they tear everybody apart, spreading peace means removing that and bringing everybody together. In other words, this ifsha as-salam means that we are part of a movement that is going to spread the ideology that is going to remove the illnesses from people, which will naturally cause everybody to feel a lot closer and really come together with true peace, not an artificially fabricated peace that one party is always losing and getting destroyed and the other one is taking advantage of them. No, not that type of peace, real peace. By removing illnesses from societies. Well, this is a great dua that we're making here, a great request, a great supplication that has a great impact on us, and it means a lot of responsibility for us. This dua, as we mentioned before, you can't just make the request and expect that God does everything for you. No. You have to make the request and practically move towards it, and God is going to provide you with the tawfiq to do it. So when we ask, God help us become part of those that are going to be involved with ifsha as-salam, spread this peace, that means we're going to have to take action with it as well. We have to move towards us, do something. And of course, on a community level, ifsha as-salam, because what we mentioned previously was a very grand objective and goal, to have the globe even like that. That's working towards the coming of the Imam. That's ifsha as-salam. Okay, but on the community level, we are already brothers and sisters. We are already believers. We have already taken steps towards removing those illnesses. We may have some illnesses in us still, and we do, and we want to try to remove them, but we have removed a number of them, the greatest of which is kufr itself. Now, in this community, what we need to add to everything else is love, kindness, coming closer together, that part of peace. Okay, where everybody, when they get together, they feel better when they see another believer. A smile automatically comes to their face when they see another believer. We need to move towards that. Initially, or at the beginning, we may have to sort of force ourselves. Unfortunately, in communities, many times we see that we're not that open to other believers. We don't feel close as believers with one another. We should. Now we need to do that ourselves towards others, and we need to take steps to spread this, bring that closeness, that salam, where everybody leaves those grudges they have against one another. Because I walked into the center, he didn't say salam, or she didn't say salam, or he made a face, or she made a face, or this or that. All of these things that shaitan brings to mind that creates a barrier between us and other people. We ask in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us, اللهم لا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا. We don't want to have those grudges against believers. And unfortunately, shaitan gets the best of us, or makes the best of us, and we do have these grudges against believers. If we want to have, or be one of those that are involved with this ifsha'u salam, we've got to remove those from ourselves and help community members and communities to remove that from one another and be able to come join with hearts, with love, and enjoy each other's company as believers. The next is related to what we just said, وَصُحْبَةَ الْكِرَامِ. If we move towards removing those grudges, communities are going to come closer to one another, believers will start to progress spiritually, and we will be in the company of Al-Kiram, nobility, noble people, not in the materialistic, capitalistic understanding of nobility, that is royalty, being from a certain family, that you're considered nobility, or back in the days, or even today. No. Human nobility, which is based on belief and action, the best of people, the muqarrabin. If we start to get together in that way, where we remove the barriers that create a distance between us, we will start moving in the right direction, and we will be part of that greater community of believers that transcends time, and it includes the prophets, our prophet, the imams, and we will be in the company of Al-Kiram, the best of them, which are the Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt. So we're asking him for this. We want to be in the company of the Holy Prophet, the company of the Ahlul Bayt. And as I said, they are relevant. If we don't get involved with Rahmat al-Aytam, It'am al-Ta'am, if we don't have that type of relationship with fellow believers, we can't expect to be able to be in the company of people like the Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt. Because if you really look at it, us to them spiritually are the way we feel towards people that are less fortunate materialistically and financially. We are deficient. Why would the Holy Prophet want to spend time with me? Why would the Imams want to spend time with me? Am I a good person? I don't deserve any of that. If I'm willing to give and be in the company of those other believers, if I want to be open like that, the Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt will want us to be in their company as well. بطولك, with the rahmah, with the blessing, with the fadl, with the might and the ability that God has in providing all of this. بطولك يا ملجأ الآملين. This is also something, again, like the previous dua, something to repeat. يا ملجأ الآملين. آمل means someone who has a wish, wishes for something, has this long wish to arrive at something. Malja means a place that you would want to be and you want to rest. He is where those who wish are going to be resting. In other words, he is the one that al-amilin, those who are really wishing for something, would want to be with. Ya malja al-amilin. The believers will develop this love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the only place that they would like to be is in the company of God. And this is what we're saying, We're referring to him as the one that the amilin, those who have that love, those who have that wish, those who have that desire, the best of desires, they want to be there. They want to be with God in the company of Allah. He is that. That's something to repeat. We hope and we pray by the right and the truth of the Ahlul Bayt that we are able to join him as he is Malja'ul Amilin. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.